Hi, friends. Welcome to Choose Wisely. We are still on break, but this is a Patreon exclusive episode, and I'm excited to be back with you. This is the podcast where we deconstruct food and sustainability topics with nuance and primary sources, and where we believe there are lots of right ways to eat well, and that we can't change a food system we don't truly understand. I'm your host, Caroline Nelson, and despite the fact that this is primarily a food podcast, I have found so many times that when we talk about food and sustainability, it just spins out into everything. And so that's where we are today. This episode has been percolating in my head since the start of the new year, and it seems like it's a bit in the zeitgeist, and the topic is overconsumption. This feeling that for many of us, we are drowning in stuff, and also things are increasingly expensive, and also the quality of everything is getting horrible. And yet we are still on this treadmill of consumption, and it's not filling the void, but it feels like there's no way out. Anyway, that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we do, housekeeping, I want to welcome our new regenerators to the podcast. Welcome Perry, Daniela, Emma, Eliza, Eden, and Claire. I'm so glad to have you. And we're having so much fun working on season two. I don't have a fixed start date yet. But we are, we're getting there. So I would say my thoughts on overconsumption, they are very, very influenced by my upbringing. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But first, I just want to give you an example from this week of, it's not just overconsumption that I want to talk about today. It's like, it's in the title, the word enshittification, just the increasing shittiness of everything. Okay, so this week I was in cold storage, and that's about an hour away from my house in a bigger city. And I was doing inventory, and it was a major, major time crunch. And I've known that the food options in Bozeman are getting more and more expensive, and they're getting worse and worse and worse. So in general, I've just been packing a lunch and trying to buy lunch less when I go in there. I'm not opposed to spending more than I used to on lunch. It just has to be good, and so much of it is not good. So because I don't have time to drive all over town in search of like actually quality lunch, anyway, I've just been packing a lunch. But on this day, I was in a major time crunch. UPS comes at 4:15 to pick up our boxes, and sometimes I am literally packing and taping down to the minute. And that was the case this week. And I was starving, and I'm super pregnant, so I just needed to eat. So I caved. I opened the DoorDash app, and I scrolled around for something that could be delivered, you know, quickly and didn't look crazy expensive. But if you've ever used these food delivery apps, you know how expensive they get so fast. Like a $14 lunch turns into a $30 lunch by the time the app adds all their fees and you tip the driver, which you of course should, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's wild. So I was scrolled and finally I was like, okay, well, this is like a $25 sandwich with mac and cheese on the side, you know, all told with delivery, which is really a lot, but the reviews are great. And this chicken sandwich looks really warm and cozy, and it looks great, and I'm starving and I'm desperate and whatever, so I ordered it. And 30 minutes later, this sandwich arrives. And when I tell you, it was a naked, solitary chicken patty on a dry, stale bun, I am not exaggerating. Like, the photo of the chicken sandwich, when I had gone back to be like, what's happening? Am I being punked? It had at least some toppings on it, like pickles and things. It was not a naked sandwich, but it was like under topped now that I like went back to look. And then I realized that actually when inside the app, the toppings like lettuce and pickles were 50 cents extra each. Yeah, you had to add them separately. So I'm upset. I'm so upset. And then to add insult to injury, there was no utensils in the bag to eat the mac and cheese. But like, listen, I am down to lick this little container like a dog eating a puppuccino. Like, I'm starving. I had my Leatherman. I could like kind of scrape it into like this mac and cheese into my mouth. Like, I am down. But upon my first bite of that bite, it wasn't a bite. It was like a shovel. This was the blandest, most undelicious mac and cheese I've ever had. Like, you would have to focus. You would have to try to make noodles and melted cheese this bland. It is not in the fundamental nature of these ingredients to be horrible. And my rage, it just felt like that's what it's like to interact with food today and like consumerism and consumer goods today. Like, in a nutshell, that is what it is. And I just was like getting myself worked into a lather over it all, over all the inshittification, which is this phrase that just keeps rattling in my head. I was talking to a friend the other day, and I feel like our choice lately when we buy things is to either stay sort of in budget, like not even, but like sort of in budget, and get total garbage, or go way over budget for something only mildly decent. And it just feels like it's accelerated so much since COVID. Like, everything is just enshittifying. So anyway, that's a term that I first heard in the tech sphere. It's referring to like the tendency of these startup tech platforms to kind of get worse and worse and worse over time and to start, you know, exploiting their customers. So it's a term coined by Cory Doctorow in an article for Wired. Here's how he explains it. Here's how platforms die. First, they are good to their users. Then they abuse their users to make things better for their business customers. And then finally, they abuse those business customers to claw back all the value for themselves. And then they die. I call this enshittification, and it is a seemingly inevitable consequence arising from the combination of the ease of changing how a platform allocates value combined with the nature of a two-sided market where a platform sits between buyers and sellers, each held hostage to the other, raking off an ever larger share of the value that passes between them. Yeah, I'm just feeling this everywhere. So it's like, yes, it's on Spotify, it's on Instagram. I felt it in our recent Airbnb experience when we went on a baby moon to Key West. I feel it all the time on our streaming services where you just have to pay more and more all the time to have like to escape some of the ads, but you can't even get rid of all of them, which defeats the entire purpose of having a streaming network in the first place. I still don't have Spotify Premium because even when you pay for it, you can't get rid of all the podcast ads that pop up. So I'm like, why? What even? Anyway, and I feel this with consumer goods so much. Things in Target, food, clothes, household items, everything feels like it's just covered in polyester, plasticky, PVC garbage. Like, it doesn't feel like there's that much integrity to things anymore and consumables anymore. And like, I'm a child of the 90s. I never grew up in the age of quality goods. Like, I've always lived in particle board era, but it just has so accelerated in the last couple of years since COVID. And yet, I feel like there's this other force happening where consumption is just like out of control. It's like, as we become less and less satisfied by these goods, we want more and more of them. It almost relates to me of like depleted nutrient density in food. Like, we eat more and more because our foods are less nutrient dense and we're not satiated. I feel like that's us consuming goods right now. Yeah, I don't know. It's like the Stanley water bottle situation. There's like influencer hauls. Trends are coming faster and faster and faster. And there's just more and more and more ads on all these platforms and more influencers doing hauls and sharing links and discount codes. And as much as I try to resist all that stuff and just sift through and see like, okay, here's what's good. Here's what I actually, you know, here's what's of value in this chaos. I find it very hard still to sort out, you know, my wants from my needs. And it just feels like an endless game of whack-a-mole with myself trying to resist this growing list of things that I quote unquote need to improve my home, my body, my life. My new favorite TikToker, it's the page at depression.gov, who she just responds to haul videos. And if you're not familiar with this type of video, haul videos, H-A-U-L, it's like Target haul, like all the things that somebody bought at Target, and they show you them. And then usually it's accompanied by links, and then they have affiliates and you're supposed to go shop their hauls, whatever. So this page just reacts to haul videos and offers kind but firm commentary and just normalizes and diffuses the experience of seeing these videos. The influencers will be like, check out my seasonal Target haul. And they're dumping, you know, like these sparkly, plasticky decorative items in their carts. And the creator is just kind of over the sound of the original video, just being like, that's garbage. You don't need that. Oh, more garbage. That's just plastic garbage. But she's not mean about it. And sometimes she'll even be like, oh, actually, that organizer looks really handy. Good find. Like, she's not anti-buying, but it's this level setting of just like, you do not need, no one needs copious amounts of new seasonal decor every holiday. Like, if that is what brings you joy, sure. But it's almost like we're just like robotically consuming this stuff. And once you see how low quality it is and how it's all just reconstituted versions of the same microplastic material, you just can't unsee it. Like that plastic tray and that Christmas garland and that little desk gadget, it's all just molded polyvinyl chloride, like in different shapes. It's just garbage. And I've been finding myself on corners of the internet where people are trying to sift through and be like, here are the good products. You know, if you need a vacuum, here's what you need to get. And there's a subreddit called Buy It For Life, which I've been loving. People share brands and products that they've had for decades. It's like high quality product porn. Vacuums that are 40 years old and work better than a new Dyson. Rubber boots from 30 years ago that are still warmer than modern mucks. It's kind of nostalgic and it's kind of addicting to scroll and be like, wow, like children back in the day, back in the days of yore, you know, like they made vacuums that really sucked up the dirt. It feels like a treasure hunt to try to find these items. It's kind of a fun challenge, a bleak challenge. It's not fun, but it is. I mean, I notice this when I'm thrifting. Like if you want really quality, good wool sweaters, you have to work and you have to hunt and you have to sift and like hone your eye and throw elbows to get them. So I want to shift a little bit about kind of to talk about my journey with consumption over the years. I think a lot of us are in a similar boat. And you know, it's like, these are such not real problems. On one hand, it's like, oh no, I have too much stuff in my house. Like, But yeah, we're just going to put that over to the side and talk about it without that fear of like sort of the privilege police. Because I think we need to talk about this. It's almost like it's systemic. It's working itself on all of us. Anyway.